Psalm 116. We're going to continue. The month of November, we've been looking at our gratitude, our thanksgiving. We call it our gratitude adjustment. And we all, if you're like me, need a gratitude adjustment on a daily basis to remind us of all that God has done and all that He is doing in our lives. I heard a quote just a few weeks ago from a fella, and I thought it was so fitting, but there's people right now that would give anything to have your worst day. Isn't that true? They'd give anything to have your worst day. The worst day you have in America is the best day people have around the world. And that's where we are today. There's many people today that don't have a single thing. They have no food. They have no running water. The water is contaminated. Where they live in a hut, four sticks and a roof over the top. And we are so blessed today that we often, if you're like me, fail to thank God for all that He does. Psalm 116 is a very familiar psalm, but he writes and he talks about his love for the Lord and he explains why he loves the Lord. A great heart of gratitude. Notice verse 1, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Just a reminder, Almighty God who created all things listens to you and me. Okay, think about it. Billions of people in the world, and who are we? Nobody on the backside of nowhere. God listens to us. He wants to hear our voice. Verse 2, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Well, therefore, will I call upon Him as long as I live. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech ye, deliver my soul. Verse 5, gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God, is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. We'll read just one more verse here in verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He goes on to speak rather extensively and in detail about why he loves the Lord, why he's grateful for God. As we continue in our series of our gratitude, last week we talked about our gratitude for our nation, our gratitude for our veterans, for our military. We are so thankful, and I said this last week, but at our church and around here, I don't know what you think about America, but we love America. We love our military. We stand for the flag. We salute the flag. We honor those who have given their lives for our freedom. But also, I want to move forward today and talk a little bit more personal about, are we implementing this gratitude? Are we living on a daily basis with this gratitude in mind? He talks about God's graciousness, God's righteousness, God's mercy, God's deliverance in his life. I said this a few weeks ago, but thanksgiving, the word thanksgiving is found 28 times in the Bible. The word thanks appears 73 times, and thank, the word thank is 27 times. We find it all throughout Scripture. In fact, we find in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, you don't have to turn there, but we find that in the latter days, when evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, and when it's not a good time, by the way, we're getting there. I hope you're prepared for that day. There's coming a day very soon when the Lord's going to take us home. He may not take us home in that last day event, but you may breathe your last breath very soon. Are you ready to meet Him? But he says there in 2 Timothy 3, he says that what? In the latter days, people will be, men and women and children will be, one of the characteristics, unthankful. There's a lot of things, he says. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, and he goes on and on. All of the things, and those characteristics, one of them, unthankfulness. Do we see that today? Absolutely. In my life, I know I do, just unthankful. Ungrateful, gripe and complain about every little thing that goes on, can't seem to get anything right, can't seem to figure out what wrench goes on, what nut, what whatever it is. You get so frustrated about everything, it seems like, and yet we have so much to be thankful for. May we not succumb to or be identified with those wicked people in the last days of being unthankful. you have an ingratitude about you. Number one, if you're saved, you're not right with the Lord. Number two, if you aren't saved, it's indicative. It shows that you are not one of God's children. Now, think about this. I like the great poet Emerson. You know him. He said this one time. He said that if the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to go out and look at them. But we have seen the stars so often that we don't bother to look at them anymore. We have grown accustomed to our blessings. Isn't that true? If they came out once, remember the eclipse happened? Everyone's outside just staring at the sun. And then everyone's Googling, can I stare directly at the sun? No. And then they came up and you saw some of these people. It was so funny. They made their own glasses, you know. And it's sure enough, the ER was filled with people that had, you know, burned retina. They were just, I tried to look at the sun. And they sell the fake ones at the dollar store, those little paper ones. They come out, oh, we got to look at this thing. It's a once in a thousand year thing, man. We got to get out and look at it. I think about that with our blessings. Oh, what if those things were taken away? It did only happen once a year. Now, let's look at a few things because I need to hate. Dude is out there hoping that we'll get done here. Okay, first of all, notice Thanksgiving is commanded. We talked about this, but just a reiteration. It's commanded in Scripture. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Well, you know what Philippians 4 says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Do you know the third part? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You always couple it with thanksgiving. There it is. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then it says, and the peace of God. The peace of God comes. When you give God your burdens and cares, the peace of God comes. You know, some of you hold on to too much. You're taking too much unnecessary weight. There's too much. To give it to God. So many Christians walk around, you know, oh, I got this big pack on. Again, I talk about often the Pilgrim's Progress. You ever read the book or watched the movie? He walks around with a giant backpack on, and each step he takes, the backpack grows bigger and bigger and bigger. It's a picture or a type of his burden until what? He meets Jesus. And Jesus takes that backpack off of him, and he stands up and goes, ooh, what a relief. And you think about today, so many do carry it with them. That thanksgiving brings a peace, brings a joy to our hearts. He says, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should always accompany our prayers. Go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, chapter 11. I want you to see here a little bit of a picture, a glimpse of an ingratitude or an ungrateful heart in the nation of Israel. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, you know Numbers, chapter 11 talks about the children of Israel getting really sick and tired of the manna, getting sick and tired of living out in the wilderness. Notice what it says in verse 1. And when the people complained, underline that word in your Bible. When the people complained. You know, complaints anger God. Oh, no, God doesn't get angry. Yes, he does. He's angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. Complaints anger, upset him. Look at displease is a better word to use. Displease the Lord. Wonder why. You know, I often wonder, and I'm talking to myself here, I wonder why my prayers aren't heard. I wonder why I don't get sometimes what I want. Complaining. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. That means ignited. You kindle a fire, you get it going. You don't want to get God going. You don't want to get his anger kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp, the outskirts. Verse 2, and the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Now, is that not a merciful God? You complain. God sends judgment. Thank God he doesn't send fire anymore. Amen. And then what? He prays to him and the Lord ceases. Go to verse 4, if you will. Verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Verse 5, we remember the fish. We, which we did eat in Egypt freely. By the way, that's a lie. They didn't eat fish freely. They were slaves. They worked every day under the weight and burden of the Egyptians. They were distressed. Because of their distress, they cried to God, God, get us out of this slavery. So he sends Moses down. Now they're reminiscing. By the way, be careful about reminiscing and thinking back, because it's never the truth. Think back to when you had that other relationship. Think back to when you had a different lifestyle. Man, that was fun. Oh, that was good. Oh, that was enjoyable. Man, I love that. It was a lie. You remember back when you were going through it. You were depressed. You wanted to get out of it. And that's what they're doing. We did eat and drink freely. Notice the cucumbers. Those are good. The melons. Those are even better. The leeks. And the onions and the garlic. I don't know about that, but it's good stuff. But verse 6, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna. This manna. Now remember what manna was. Manna is a type of God's provision. Okay? Now, manna came because, again, why? They complained. We have nothing to eat out here. So God sent manna. They were to go out, remember, and gather it only a certain amount and only on certain days. But did they follow those rules? No, they broke them. They were too self-centered. They were too proud. They were too lustful. So they went out and gathered them, and some of them ground it up, made it into like a flour, made bread out of it, made other things like that. Well, they got sick of it. And the only way and reason that we get sick of what God provides on a daily basis is because we are not close to God like we should be. You distance yourself from God, from His Word, from prayer, living a sinful lifestyle, a selfish lifestyle, what happened? You get sick and tired of the mundane things. And in America, we have made our wants and needs synonymous. Those two words are not synonymous. They're separate words. They're different words. Wants are here. Needs are here. I need food. I need water. I need air to breathe. Okay, but I want Burger Boy or whatever, you know. I want something like that. And we get those things synonymous. So when we don't get what we want, what do? Well, Lord, you know I need that. The Lord says, no, actually, Tim, you're getting a little confused there, buddy. Come on back to reality. But it's amazing to me that they got accustomed, their daily blessings, their daily things. By the way, they didn't have to go out. They weren't made to go out and plow the field. And plant seed, not yet. Why? That wasn't their land yet. They were supposed to make it to the promised land. I said this last time, but I said it was about a 12-day journey from where they were down in Egypt to the promised land. 12 days. They took a little detour, didn't they? They wandered around about 40 years or so. We got to be careful about that. Because God's plan and God's will looks so big and so astronomical and too much. I can't handle that, Lord. No way. I could never stand up and teach people. I'm not good at that. I could never lead them to the Lord. I could never invite them to church. They won't listen. I could never do that. Well, don't say never. Let God be God. Well, God, you put it on my heart. Lord, you want me to do it. I'll do it. I may be embarrassed. I look like a fool, but I'll do it. David said, I'll be a fool for God's glory. Now, think about the nation of Israel. They complained. We are to thank Him. Thanksgiving is commanded. We know Christ practiced it. Matthew 11:25. And at that time, Jesus answered. What did He say? I thank Thee, O Father. I thank Thee, O Father. You got 11:25. Thank you. Isn't Brother Brandon doing great today? He's filling in for us, and He is doing great. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hast revealed them unto babes. That's babies. The intellectual people couldn't understand it. The Pharisees couldn't understand it. The religious people couldn't get it. But the babes in Christ could. Notice what He says. Thank Thee. I thank Thee. Now, you understand who Jesus was. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. We've already studied that. He had all power. He had the ability to heal and do anything He really wanted to do, but He humbled Himself, according to Philippians chapter 2, humbled Himself in the flesh of man so that He could die for man to redeem us from our sins and atone for our sins, etc., etc. We've covered all of that. He says, I thank Thee. Now, He says this out loud so others can hear. on several occasions throughout the gospel accounts, he thanked God out loud. Thank you, Lord. I thank thee. He, in fact, corrects several people. There were lepers that came to him one day. You remember the story. And they said, Lord, heal us. He says, okay. So he heals them. And as soon as they're healed, if you remember the story, immediately, you know anything about leprosy, there's sores all over your body. Immediately they look down and they realize, you know, the hand starts turning different color up their arm and body, and they're, we're healed, it's gone. And all of them bolt. They make a beeline to run back home or wherever they're going. The Bible doesn't say. They make a beeline, they run away. And one of them, on his, he runs and he stops. And he turns around, comes back to Jesus. And he says, Lord, basically, thank you. Only one. And what's Jesus? Where's the rest of them? Didn't I heal your friends too? Where are they at? I don't know, Lord. I don't know. It's fascinating that how often I don't thank God for what he's done, for what he's doing. We know thanksgiving is offered in heaven. For in Revelation 7, you don't have to turn there, 7 and verse 11, and all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders, four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. We'll be saying that forever and ever in heaven. Thank you. Thank you to the Lamb. Let me hasten here. Number two, though, thanksgiving should be offered at all times. We know it's commanded, but it should be offered at all times. We know Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. All things. Remember what he says as we studied this in 1 Thessalonians 5. Give thanks. When? All the time. Give thanks. When? All the time. All the time. You know this. You understand it. A great quote from a man. His name was Henry Beecher. He said, if one should give a dish of sand and tell me where the particles of iron were in the sand, it might, I might look for them with eyes and search for them with my clumsy, bumbling fingers and be unable to detect the tiny specks of iron in the sand. But let me take a magnet and sweep over the top of that sand, and every particle of iron will stick to that magnet, won't it? Those things that would be invisible to the naked eye now appear. The thankful heart, like my finger in the sand, discovers no blessings, but let the thankful heart sweep through life. As a magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every day some heavenly blessing. Would you ask God today to make your heart like a magnet? Lord, as I sweep across and make a list, just a real quick rundown in my mind of everything I should be thankful for, would you help me? And as you ponder on each of those points in life, you'll feel and realize, boy, there's a lot to be thankful for in my life. Just take a category today of your health. We have dear people in our church right now dealing and battling through cancer. We have dear people right now battling through debilitating diseases. We have people right now battling through relational problems and other things. Are you thankful? We ought to be thankful to God. I have a list of things. I must run through them. We ought to be thankful to Christ. You know that. We ought to be thankful both in public and private worship. Daniel knelt down and opened his windows, and they said, you pray one more time, Daniel, we're going to arrest you. He said, okay, where are you going? Home. To do what? To pray. And it says that he bust open his little window there, and he knelt down and he faced east towards Jerusalem, and he began praying, and he didn't pray, Lord, thank you, God, for all your blessings. No, he said, Lord God, and everyone down below said, wanted to thank you again for your grace, your goodness, your help, with the knowledge of, by the way, remember, he would be thrown in the lion's den for praying. We pray out loud, maybe we get a little embarrassed. If we go out to eat with anybody, we go anywhere to eat, guess who they ask to pray? You know, Brother Tim, can you pray for us? Okay. If you get to pray out loud, sometimes you get kind of nervous. Maybe you're in a loud restaurant or you're somewhere around family that are basically atheists and they hate God and everything else. You pray. Daniel says, I'm going to go ahead and pray anyways. with the knowledge of that they're going to throw me in the lion's den if I do. Prayer was so important to him. Thanksgiving was important to him. We ought to thank God not only for what he's done, but at the remembrance of God's holiness and his righteousness. We ought to thank God on at least three different occasions in the New Testament. It says we ought to thank him before taking food. When intercession is made for others, we ought to thank him. When praise is offered, and so on and so forth. But let me move to point three so we can get through this, that thanksgiving should be offered for all and in all things. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As we study that, we know. Notice in everything. It's your present position. It's not looking back and go, well, that was a tough time, but Lord, I thank you for that. It's not the future. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but Lord, I'm going to thank you right now for it. Well, no. It's what you're in right now. It's the mess you're in. It's what you just stepped in out in the field, okay? It's that nonsense you're dealing with right now. And you said that in everything give thanks. I can't do it, Lord. Well, if you step out by faith, you could. For this is the will of God for you. It's the will. You're in the will of God when you're thanking him no matter the circumstances. I heard the story of a man that came to his realtor and he said, hey, I want to sell my home. The realtor got excited, boy. Yeah, all right. I'm going to stop by your house and we're going to talk about what you want to put in the ad. Okay, great. They came in. He came in and sat at the kitchen table and he sat down with a paper and a little legal pad. He says, okay, start to tell me about your house, your home, all the good qualities about it so I can put it on Zillow or whatever it is. Okay. He sits down and they start talking and he says, you know what? The landscaping in the front is new. I just did that last summer. It's got some beautiful plants that my wife and I picked out just for ourselves. We really like the smell of it in the summer. It's got these nice cherry trees in the back, and they're beautiful. They're just really starting to take root. Brand new sod out in the back. And the inside, we redid the kitchen, and we put down our favorite granite countertops. Oh, they're beautiful. My wife picked out the colors. He goes on and on and on, talks about the bathrooms and talks about the brand new toilets and all these things. And he stops mid-sentence and says, hang on. This is the house of my dreams I'm describing. I don't want to sell it. Never mind. Never mind. When you sit down and think about all that you have, you go, wow, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. People always have it better than you, but there's also people always have it worse than you. In the following weeks, we're going to go pass out some of these donations to these dear homeless people. Now, I dare to say 95% of them are drug addicts and alcoholics, and they have a lot of issues. But you think about who is reaching them with the gospel. I mean, Brother Tim, we're going to hand out these things and we're going to give them we always have a gospel track in the bags with it. We try to, a lot of them won't listen, but as we pass these bags out to them, and we're very careful because it can be dangerous, but we're careful. And sir, do you know, the most important thing is, do you know, now when you're handing them something, they'll listen, okay? That's when people, they come up and ask for money from me. I always try to say, before I hand you this, I want to ask you something. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They always say yes. Well, do you know what the Bible says in Romans 3? Romans 3? No, I haven't read the Bible in a while. What's it say? Do you know what it says in Romans 6? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you know that? Our goal is to get them the gospel, but you think about as you pass those things out to them, your heart breaks for them, doesn't it? Brother J.R. and I were talking a while back. It just breaks your heart. He hands out Bibles to them, and we hand out these bags of clothing. I think it breaks your heart. You think, well, but for the grace of God, there go I. None of us are exempt from heroin. None of us are exempt from coke and drugs and fentanyl. Fentanyl is killing so many people today. And it is odorless and tasteless, this fentanyl. And if you sprinkle, they lace weed with fentanyl. And these poor kids, they go, well, hey, let's just smoke a little bit. And they just smoke out of recreational, just having fun. And it's laced with fentanyl and they die. It stops your heart instantly. And it's just an epidemic today that we have. But I think about that. But for the grace of God, go I, right? Some of you have sisters and brothers and others that are on that stuff. And we're praying for them. But for the grace, go I, right? That's where we are today. And we think about, hey, listen, grandma, listen, grandpa, listen, hey, but for the grace go I. And you ought to pray every day for your grandkids. You ought to pray every day, and I know you do, but plead. Come to the mercy throne of God and say, God, oh, please work in their lives. Why? Because I understand that I ought to be thankful. I ought to be praising God for these people, but I need to bring them near to Him. We ought to be thankful in all things. Oh, I have a whole list of things, but we know. For God's work in our lives, for the conversion of other people, for the deliverance that we have experienced, and praying and pleading for the deliverance of others, for victory over death and the grave. Do you realize that today? What does David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear. It's not death, it's the shadow. And the little boy asked the daddy, Daddy, what's that mean? He said, well, son, would you rather be hit by the shadow of an 18-wheeler or the 18-wheeler itself? I'll be hit by the shadow of it. Much better. That shadow creeps in and we get real nervous and we see it and we go, oh, it's getting dark. It's getting cold. Just hang on a bit. The sun will come over and warm you up. That shadow will dissipate. It'll move to the other side. Now think about this. The deliverance, the victory we have over death. We are to stop worrying and being thankful to God in everything. I know you've heard this before. In everything. Let me jump ahead. But thanksgiving should be offered for our victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a reminder, that's present tense. Giveth us the victory. It's not past. He gave us the victory. He will give us the victory. No. He giveth victory now. That's where it is. You and I have victory in Christ. That ought to transform the way you live, the way you talk, the way you think. Wait, I have victory in God right now. I'm a child of the King. I have victory now. I don't have to succumb to those lustful desires. I don't have to watch that anymore. I don't have to go there. I'm not a slave to those things anymore. I talked to an individual, and they were struggling with that sin of being locked to that sin. I just can't get out of it. And I am very, very compassionate towards people that have addictions, because some of you have been through addiction, and it is not fun. It is a very serious thing, and it is painful, physically painful. And helping him and talking about those things. But I said, you got the victory. Remember that. If you're saved, you have the victory. Therefore, start making steps forward in that victory. Victory is not going back and shooting up again, watching that again, smoking that. It's not that talking the way you do in a very arrogant way or a blasphemous way or a hypocritical way or a whatever it is, gossiping way about other people. Whoa, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take a step forward in victory. And you can do that. We ought to thank God for the victory we have today. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. Triumph is always there. It's always there. It's available. It's like God setting it out for us. There it is. There's the triumph. There's the victory in the battle. What do I have to do? I got to take it. But sometimes we don't take it. I shared the gospel with several people before, and I used that illustration. I said, if I handed you a $20 bill, and they got excited, huh? What's your job? They thought about it. Well, it'd be just to take it. I said, exactly. That's the gift of God. The gift of God is offered. You just have to take it. But a lot of people don't take it. Why? Out of pride. Well, I don't need that. Well, why doesn't God just come and put it right in my pocket? Why do I got to do anything? God says you got to do something. He paid the ultimate price for us. We don't work for it, but we've got to receive it. Now, he says the triumph is in Christ right now. Because of that, we thank him for it. If you're like me, hear how it goes as I talk to the Lord. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I confess to you. I did that. I shouldn't have done that. That's not victory. That's the other way. That's backwards. You know. Here's the victory. Lord, thank you that you helped me to step forward by faith and turn that off and step forward by faith and not respond to my wife that way. Thank you for giving me the strength to be careful and turn on the Bible in my car when I have an hour drive to work instead of listening to the old nonsense I used to. Thank you, God, for giving me the victory. On and on we could go. Again, preaching to myself. Victory over trials. Victory, so many things. I have so many verses here. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called
according to His purpose. To them that love God, called according to His purpose. We have victory over the trials of current situations. We have victory over death. We have victory over hell. We have victory over the grave. Praise God for that, don't we? Today, as you sit here, if you're saved, you have victory over hell. You and I, at one point in our lives, were one heartbeat out of hell, literally. I mean, one accident. One car accident, one brain aneurysm, one blood clot away. And praise God, He gave us and presented to us the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not saved today, I try to say this every week, you need to get saved. Today would be a good day. And it's not embarrassing. I would keep it very private. You come to me, I'd show you from the Bible how to be saved. It's very simple. It doesn't take a lot. It takes heart belief in Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt? If you died tomorrow, you would be with Jesus Christ. We have victory over Satan. Christ has defeated him. Christ has defeated him. We know that. Satan tries daily to defeat us. We know in Hebrews 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that have the power of death. He's talking about Satan. We have victory over hell and death. We have victory over Satan, our adversary. He fights daily to try to get us off and get us away. We have victory over him. If we claim it, we've got to claim it and step forward by faith. John 3 talks about this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3. Destroy the works of the devil. Christ hath delivered us from his dominion. He protects us while we are here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Here's a little practice for you. When Satan starts to bother you. Now, it's not always Satan. It's you, some, most of the time, it can be our own conscience and our own stupidity. Okay, our own sinfulness. But he does bother us. When he does, James gives us a great, great formula of what to do. Number one, submit yourselves to God. Submit, Lord, I submit myself to you right now. Number two, resist the devil. Literally say, Lord, devil, I resist you. I'm resisting you. I've submitted myself under the blood of Christ. I resist you. Thirdly, it says he will flee from you. He'll leave. He'll leave you alone. I talked with an individual and they said that they've been bothered by demons, demonic presence. They've just been bothering them. And I always ask in that situation, it hasn't happened many times, but a couple times, I always ask him, are you sure you're saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Oh, yes, 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 yes. And I make sure of that. I want to clarify that. But a bother, an irritant, an annoyance, things that will happen in their lives that just bother them all the time, I want to encourage you, submit yourselves to him and resist him. Why? My point is, we have victory over Satan. Again, remember, you're a child of the King. A peasant isn't going to come by and tell you what to do. Okay, you're a child of the King. A peasant isn't going to come by and try to kick you in the shin. They might, and they could hurt you a little bit. But you've got a lot of army behind you. You got a lot of power behind you. Okay, victory over sin. I will wrap it up here. We're delivered from the penalty of sin. Romans 5, verse 1. I love it. Romans 5, 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, not justified by works. Remember that. We're justified by faith. See, when you exercise your faith, number one, he's talking about a soteriological sense. That means salvation. But secondly, when you exercise your faith on a daily basis, Lord, I have victory over you. I'm going to go forward by faith. I'm not going to go backwards again. There's justification, see. There's the power. There's the strength. We have, notice, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, underline that word, access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's a lot of words in there to break down, but for sake of time, I won't. But notice, he says where we stand, we don't sit. It doesn't say cower, hide, where we hide, Lord. He says where we stand. The word stand in the New Testament is always indicative of victory. We're standing. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross. We know that. But he says we have peace with God. Notice, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God today? If you're saved, you have peace with him. Where at once you had enmity, you were an enemy of God. Number two, do you have the peace of God?
You have the peace with God if you're saved, but you have the peace of God. Are you walking with the peace of God in your heart? Or do you have a lot of turmoil, unrest, anxiety, depression, other things? Do you have the peace of God? He says we have the peace of God. We have access by faith. Now again, the point is we have victory over sin. Do you have access? You have access by faith. Hebrews 4 says what? Boldly approach. Boldly approach. You know what most Christians do? They crawl up to the throne of grace. Lord, it's me again. I screwed up again. I messed up again. Lord, head down, shameful, approaching the throne. No, what's it say? We are to boldly approach the throne of grace. How do we do that? Knowing we have victory over sin, living a righteous lifestyle, living for Him, access by faith. Number two, we are being delivered from the power of sin. We are delivered, but we are being delivered. Notice, from the power of sin. We don't have the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is hell. What's the power of sin? It's an overwhelming desire. It's an addiction, if you will. Notice Romans 6 and verse 6. We're almost done. Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth, we should not serve sin. Well, how do I do that? What does he say? It's crucified. Remember Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now is for him. What is it? Crucifixion. You've got to give your life over to him. You've got to, literally, the Bible says, mortify the flesh. Mortify, you know what that means. It means to kill, to destroy it. We still live in this body. We're going to deal with sin on a daily basis, but we don't have to succumb to it and be addicts and be pulled all the time like a dog with a choke chain. Notice, we're freed from sin. We shall be delivered, notice, lastly, from the presence of sin, talking about the victory we have today. So we're delivered from the penalty, but we're being delivered from the power of sin. Thirdly, we shall be delivered from the presence of sin. One day, we'll be with Jesus Christ. No more pain, no more tears, no more Satan, no more demons, no, none of that junk. Jesus forever. Perfect environment. Never grow old. You see your loved ones, Lord willing, that were saved. The presence of sin. Give God thanks in everything. We know that. God's reward for being thankful is the peace of God. As I said that, you and I have peace with God, but you have the peace of God. If you're grateful and thankful, we have peace of God. Do you have peace today? Are you grateful for what He's done? And I know you are. I know you are. But coming back here, just lastly, we have in Psalm 116, the psalmist writes and says, oh, how I love the Lord because of. Can you write that on your story? I love the Lord. Why? Well, because. I'm faithful to God. Why? Well, because He. You have a whole list of things. I encourage you to keep a list of things God's done. Keep a list of things, whether up here or on a piece of paper. Lord, what have you done? Thank God for it. Your children, your spouse, your situation, again, your nation, where you live, your health. Some of you, it surprises me. When I go visit sick people that are going through very difficult health problems, they're always thankful for their health. Oh, I thank God for what I do have. I thank God for what the health I do have. But us people that don't maybe have those, we're not very thankful in that. I know I'm not. You and I should be thankful, and I thank God for your thankfulness, because we will never be victorious if we don't acknowledge where we are, we don't acknowledge who He is. We understand He has all victory. One day, friends, we'll see Him face to face. Remember, go ahead and read the last few chapters of your Bible every once in a while to remind you that we're on the winning side, okay? We are on the side that wins. This is a temporary thing. A Christian should never get used to this world and never get comfortable in this world. Why? Because we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. You get real comfortable here. Oh, don't do it. Keep on the move. Keep going forward. I'm looking forward to the day when we cry the battle cry of victory. Hosanna. Praise God for Him. Would you stand with me today? Thank you for listening so well. I do appreciate you being here today. I appreciate your faithfulness. I want to encourage you this month of November to really take time to thank God for what He's done. And if you can't think of many things, thank Him for who He is, because He's so good, isn't He? He's so good. I feel sorry for so many people that are stooped and duped in false religion today. They really are. Many people. But for the grace of God, go I. We're so thankful. Thank Him for your salvation, for all He's done.